Hey there, y'all, and welcome to another episode of Be Still and Run. This is your host, Allie Ann, and today is our sadly last episode specifically focusing on our thoughts. I've really enjoyed being able to dive into this series because it has been something God has been showing me and opening my eyes to the realization of how important our thoughts are in life. And if you did not listen to the previous episodes on our thoughts, I would definitely recommend you checking those out before. So the first one is the key to better motivation. And then the next one is the beginning of a new life. So make sure you at least listen to the beginning of a new life before this one, because it kind of springs off of that. But if you can, try to listen to the other ones before this one as well, because they all kind of build on each other and it's kind of needed to be able to do that. So if you're new, thank you for tuning in. We really focus on authenticity here and being real, and I am learning along with you guys. I am not coming at you from a perspective of I've been there, I've done that, I am beyond you. We will never be here on this earth be able to say that we have made it, and I really want to steer away from sounding professional or acting professional. So there's very little editing, and I really try to keep it real because I have personally enjoyed the people who do that. And so I wanted to make sure and focus on that, and I hope you stick around. But for now, let's get to the episode. I hope you enjoy. A runner's battleground is something that runners very frequently talk about. It's our mind, and it is something that can get us into so much trouble, especially during a race. I've heard that for the professionals and the people who are really at the elite level, they cannot get themselves into a hole, because once they do, it is very hard to get out. And I have seen this just in my short running life and in my teeny races compared to theirs. But once you get yourself into a hole in your thoughts, it really feels like it's impossible to get out. And knowing that 80% of a runner's battle is in our mind, realizing that will really help us or like encourage us or motivate us to really start taking our thoughts captive. And if you are a Christian runner, then you should really be able to see this. Verse 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So a lot of times when we are running, it's not good thoughts that we battle with. It's the ones of I want to quit or this hurts. It's always negative thoughts. And that is not something Christ wants us to dwell on. He tells us in Philippians 4:8 what we should be thinking about. And it's things that are true. It's things that are lovely, of good report. And as a Christian, if we start allowing ourselves to think those things while we're running, it's no different. And we just really, we see the effect of that while we're running, because it's not just our mental stamina that's being destroyed, it's also our physical, because of what we're thinking on. So if you're a Christian runner, you'll be able to more identify this and be able to realize the importance of this verse. But if you are not a runner, just maybe think of when you did run at some point and that thought that told you to stop, or the thought that has not allowed you to take up running because you experienced it, or because you have heard of all the horrors of it. One of the things on my bucket list was to run a marathon, but I kind of told myself that I would never do it because I had heard so many horror stories, and I just knew that I wouldn't be able to do the nutrition right. I was thinking there is no way that I would ever be able to do that. And so that is what kept me from doing something that I really wanted to do. And if you didn't hear about that story, God led me to run a full marathon. And he trained me through the whole thing. And I had the courage to do that because I had accomplished it was called 5K Mayhem. And it was a 5K every hour for 12 hours. And I was thinking, if I can run 30 some miles in 12 hours, I should be able to run a full marathon if I train right. So that was just an example of how my thoughts had kept me from doing what I wanted to do. So just kind of think of what is causing you to not run, or what thoughts go through your mind. A lot of times it's people's knees. They're like, I don't want to destroy my knees. All of these different things. So just realize that is sort of what runners deal with, just in a more extreme way, because we are actually running and these thoughts are actually going through our minds while we are running. And a lot of times our thoughts will go up and down as to whether they're positive or negative thoughts that we are coming up with. So it's not just being like, okay, I'm going to be struggling with my thoughts the whole time. No, it's the negative thoughts will just come all of a sudden, or at a certain time. So I, like, for me, it was always around mile 2 and mile 7 to 9 that I knew I was going to struggle with negative thoughts. And it was that those times that I knew I had to plan ahead, because I knew those thoughts were coming. But it's the thoughts that just randomly came and the miles I wasn't expecting that were the ones I really had to keep an eye out for. And so meditation, and I'm talking about a biblical meditation, as in thinking on scripture constantly, not the modern new age meditation where we empty our thoughts. God never said to empty our mind. He said to fill it with his word. So that's what meditation is. And then mantras are a small phrase that runners repeat. It's very common for runners, but it's also a new age thing. So you have to be careful what phrases you repeat. You want to make sure that they are biblical and they are on God's word. A lot of times, if I have a mantra, I'll base it off of scripture, and I'll make sure that I don't take anything out of context, but that it's completely true. So for a long time, I was meditating on Philippians 4:13, and I shortened it down to I can. And I realized that I can started taking me down the wrong path into thinking that I can do it, when in reality, it's Christ in me that can do it. So I think at some point when I was using that, I changed it to, I don't remember what it was, but it's something about, I made sure I added back in, I can in Christ, or I can through Christ, or something like that. So just make sure, because mantras are supposed to be short, and since verses are long and truths are long, you have to make sure that whatever your mantra is, it is completely based on truth and doesn't turn into a lie or a phrase that will get us focused on ourselves instead of God. And the repetitive words is just a simple word, as in go or run or just, I guess, repetitive words. You could say, I can't. I know that I used to say that all the time, and my dad would say, stop saying I can't because you can. And eventually I stopped saying I can't because I started meditating on Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So just realizing what these different words are, so that when people talk about them or I mention them, if I talk about meditation, I'm not talking New Agey. And if I'm talking about mantras or encourage you to find a mantra, then it's not to be taken out of context and it should be on scripture because that's where our true life is going to be found. Then, like, I did a study yesterday and finished it this morning on just looking up cross references for joy, or not cross references, but like a concordance. And there's, I think, I'm not 100% sure, so don't quote me on it, but 800 sometimes the word joy was in the Bible. And I realized just through that joy comes from where our thoughts are on answered prayer, on the presence of God, on praying in itself. And I realized that it's our thoughts. So your thoughts, you pray your because prayer comes from your thoughts. And then being in God's presence, there's going to be thoughts with that. So just everything boils down to our thoughts. So, as I started analyzing my life, I started analyzing my thoughts, started analyzing my actions and my attitude, and I began realizing that everything came from things that I had thought about. And realizing that who I am today is because of what I have thought on in the past is really like humbling, and also, I don't want to say shameful, but it's like a realization of like, oh, like I could be a different person if I had known years ago why I needed to be thinking on right thoughts. I know a lot of times we seem to forget to look at the consequences of our actions, and that is something we really need to get in our head, that our thoughts have consequences. And I have noticed in my life that my like anger and depression and different things that I have had to deal with all stem from thoughts that I now believe. And I have noticed some of the old thoughts will rise, like I'm no good. What is the point of life? Why am I here? And my life has been a waste, just different things like that. If I continue to dwell on those and I don't take care of them and take them to scripture, then down the road, I will be believing those thoughts and I will act off of that. I will end up not doing anything. I'll end up quenching the spirit because what's the point? And just a bunch of different things. So recently I have like a notes app on my phone to where I can put like a sticky tab on the home screen, and it scrolls, which is really nice. So you don't have to actually click on it and then it goes to the app. It just stays on the home screen. So I've been adding verses depending on what I'm struggling with at that in the moment, verses that God points out that I need in my life, and then also any lies that come up. So like recently I was thinking, God must not have a purpose for me in my life, so I had to put Ephesians 2:10 on there, to where it says that God created works for each of us to do before we were ever born or before the world was ever created. And I just put that on there. So then that way, when that thought does come, I'll just be like, no, this is what the Bible says. And so that has been something I have been doing, and it is really keeping my thoughts in obedience to Christ, like I think it was 2 Corinthians 10:5 says to do. So in closing, today I just wanted to bring up the question, where have your thoughts taken you? Where are you right now? And can you think of thoughts you have thought in the past, or maybe you still believe them, that has caused you to be where you are right now? Is there fear that you have acted on that you regret? Or is there lies that you have been living out of that have been causing you difficulties or been causing you pain or pain to others? So I just, as the last of this month on our thoughts, I'm sure I'll be talking about thoughts, you know, forever, because it's so important. And my friend has just been constantly over the years drilling that into my mind. Your thoughts, you need to take care of your thoughts. And so I just really want to encourage you to really dive into analyzing your thoughts. And I know I told you I would tell you what to do with that sheet that you had analyzed all of your thoughts down. It doesn't matter which one you chose. I would encourage you to take that to the Lord. I know you were probably expecting me to give you like some practical steps that actually looked like something, but I cannot tell you how much better and how much more effective it will be if you take those to the Lord and you be like, Lord, what do I do with these? Because it's kind of like, what was the servant's name that had leprosy? I know it started with an N, but he went to Elijah and Elijah said, you know, go dip in the Jordan 7 times. Well, he went away frustrated because he's like, you know, he was expecting some miraculous thing. And the servants are like, what if he would have, you know, told you to do something else, would you not have done it? And so he ended up going and dipping himself in the Jordan 7 times and he came out clean. So I know it seems very simple, but it may also be daunting. Just God promises that if we seek him with all our heart, that he will be there. So you don't have to be scared of him. He already knows what's going on in your mind. So I would just really encourage you, take those thoughts to him and ask him what you should do with them. That will be the first step. And then after you take that step, then go to him for the next one and just keep going back to him. And over time, you'll realize that you have taken so many steps and you're now in a place that you didn't think you would ever be. So just please don't see that as something small or something silly. Just really take those thoughts to the Lord and just share everything with him. Just pretend you're talking to a friend. If you need to, even get paper out and pretend you're writing a letter to somebody, like I had mentioned before, and then share with them your thoughts, share with them what is going on, and then turn it into a prayer. Be like, God, what should I do with this? What? And just journal everything out, and maybe that'll help. Some people have said, pretend God is sitting in the chair next to you and just talk to him. Talk to him as a friend, not to do anybody else. So that is what I want to encourage you to do. And just really over the next few weeks, continue thinking about what you're thinking on. Continue going to the Lord with that and realizing that everything you do comes from a thought. And first you have a thought, then you have a feeling, and then you act off of that feeling. So I love you guys, and I will see you next week. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Be Still and Run. If you didn't listen to The Beginning of a New Life, which would have been episode, I'll tell you in just a second, it would have been episode 63, I would highly recommend you do that because I talked about how you need to take your thoughts to the Lord, and I dived more into that episode. And then there's some ideas on the blog post that links up with that episode. So definitely make sure you check that out. And don't forget to look at the 12-9 challenge and the Simplicity of Christianity if you haven't yet. And this coming month, I, Lord willing, will have the freebie sheet ready. I'm really excited to actually be getting stuff out to you guys rather than just giving you a bunch of content and things, but actually bring things out that will encourage you and draw you closer to the Lord and actually help you be able to take action in what God has been doing in my own life, and hopefully it will help you guys as well. So I love you. I will see you next week.